Well, our scripture reading this morning on this Easter Sunday is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. And we will be reading verses 1 through 12. So Luke 24, starting at verse 1. People of God, this is God's very word. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." And there ends the reading of God's word this morning. He is risen. I love that. He is risen indeed. And when I first became a Christian in the late 90s, the Lord graciously brought me to a Reformed church. And on the first Easter, I can remember this, on the first Easter I was there, the pastor, Dan Brink, the congregation all comes in, everyone's sitting down, and he says, "He is risen." And he did it quietly. And everybody said, "He is risen indeed," quietly back. And they said it again, and they got louder. And they got louder. And he said it a third time, and you could tell the volume was getting pretty high. And the fourth time he said it, he was pumped. He shouted it, "He is risen!" And the congregation just shouted it back, "He is risen indeed!" And this is my first Easter, sitting in this church, and my eyes are like this big. And I was just like shocked. I was just marveling at the excitement in the room for the risen Lord. And I don't want to shout right now because I might blow the speakers. I might scare somebody. But I hope that this morning you have that level of excitement. You have that same marvel that the tomb is empty. That you could say hallelujah to the Lamb and you could feel it inside. You see, our text this morning, we see this group of women going to the tomb of their Lord. And they thought they were going to anoint a dead body. And you're like, really? But when they get there, the tomb is empty. And they run back to tell the disciples. And what happens? They get told to be quiet. Where's the marvel? Where's the awe? Where's the excitement? This morning, have you come to church just because it's Sunday? Because that's just what we do. We come to church on Sunday. Just another Sunday. Or today's Easter, and you know, well, all Christians go to church on 2 days, Christmas and Easter, and that's one of them, so I'm here. Got to get my card punched. Or have you come this morning to worship and to praise the risen Lord? You know, it always baffles me that the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to these churches, he has all this excitement for the risen Lord. But there's one church he has to write because they don't. Listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a church this morning. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he rose up Christ from the dead. Whom, if he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised, and if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitied. He wrote that to a church. Beloved, why have you come to church today? Did the resurrection happen? Would we believe the women's testimony if they came running in the doors? Do you believe that the tomb is empty? What about the question of the angels? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Beloved, I hope you came here this morning ready to celebrate. Ready to celebrate the defeat of death and the grave. Ready to know that your sins are forgiven, that you've been justified by Christ. And ultimately, you've come to celebrate the risen Lord. The risen Lord. We'll have 3 points this morning. The first is, what did the women find? The second is, what did the angel say? And third, how did the disciples respond? So first one, what did the women find? Second, what did the angels say? And last, how did the disciples respond? Because, beloved, if the resurrection didn't happen, then we truly are the most to be pitied, aren't we? But it did happen. And it is something to marvel at, to celebrate, to get excited about. So our text starts off this morning on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Verse 1 says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared. So these women, who we get their names in verse 10, Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and there's other women with them. These are the same women who were at the crucifixion. These were the same women who were with Jesus during his ministry. And after watching their Lord crucified right before them, Luke tells us that they actually watched Jesus get placed in the tomb. Think about what's going on to these women's mind as they see all this happening before them. They don't go home thinking, okay, he's going to rise in 3 days. We got this. No, the text tells us that they go home to start preparing spices for his body. So once the sun goes down on that Friday, the Sabbath begins, and they rest. But then going back to verse 1, that's Sunday morning. And I love how Luke says that. It's very early. It's a term that it's right before the sun comes up. It's still dark. Very early in the morning. It's like the crack of dawn. And they've probably been up earlier than that because they're preparing these spices. They're getting ready to take these to the tomb. And as they make their way in the dark, very early, they notice something different than what they left on Friday afternoon. The stone in front of the tomb is now gone. And as they go in, the body is not there. So that's two things they saw Friday before they left. They saw them place Jesus' body in the tomb, and they saw the stone get rolled over. Verse 2 tells us, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And I love what Luke writes next. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed. You're like, well, isn't that an understatement? Greatly perplexed. You know, if we take notes from the other Gospels, we know that there was this stone over the tomb was so large that these women couldn't have moved it. And we read in Matthew that there was guards by the tomb. So these ladies were probably hoping those guards were still there to ask them to move the stone so that they could anoint the body. And now think about the trauma that these women have been through, seeing what Jesus, their Lord, had gone through. And in their minds, they've been preparing themselves to anoint the dead body of Jesus. They get there, and everything's different. Perplexed probably isn't the right words. Maybe overcome with grief might be the right words. Maybe bitter sorrow might be the right words for these women. Total loss of words. They're probably wondering, why would anybody do this? Now, I want you to ask yourselves this morning, what did they come to do? Are they there to celebrate? Are they there to worship? No. They literally showed up to anoint a dead body. First mistake, isn't it? Going back to our question this morning, why are you here, beloved? Did we come this morning to church with the wrong premise? Did we come to church thinking about a dead body? No. See, if you show up to church on Sunday looking for the dead, you've missed the point. See, we don't go to church to see the dead. No, we come to worship the living. Picking back up at verse 4. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And remember, that's one of my favorite words in all of Scripture. Behold. Look. The writer's grabbing our attention. It's almost like these two men just appeared in the tomb with them. Because they did. These aren't just men. They're angels. Angels sent from heaven. And they've come to bring a message to these women. And we see this all over Scripture, what angels do. See, angels show up like men, don't they? Because they're messengers. And sometimes they bring good news. Think of the birth of Jesus. Think of the birth of John the Baptist. Think of the angels at night with the shepherds. But in the Old Testament, when angels bring a message, it's usually for judgment. Greek word for angel literally is messenger. And Luke tells these women, what are you doing here? These two men show up in shining garments that are so bright that these women just fall on their faces. They're terrified. Verse 5 says, as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. And this leads us to our second point this morning. What did the angel say? And I'm going to say it's probably the top three things in all of Scripture. It could even be number one. Top three sentences in all of Scripture. The angels testify to the resurrection of Christ with unforgettable words. They say to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. That's got to be the top five. All of Scripture, all the things you hear about in Scripture. One pastor wrote this, God sent the angels to say, Jesus is alive. He knew that the women would be in the wrong place on that first Easter morning, looking for the living among the dead. But he graciously sent messengers to tell them the good news of the gospel. Doesn't God often do this to us? Some reason we always start going in the wrong place or going somewhere we shouldn't be. And God kind of elbows us and nudges us back to where we need to be, where we need to go, where we've gone wrong. He shows us. Aren't you glad he does this? To these women, they're in the wrong spot. They've gone to the wrong place. The angels need to point these women in the right direction. And where does he point them? Where do these angels point these women? Verse 6. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? The angels point them back to Jesus' own words, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, rise again. Remember. Right? The angels tell this woman, remember. It's an imperative. The angels gave this woman a command to remember. Think about how many times Jesus told the disciples this exact thing. How many times did he have to tell the disciples what was going to happen to him? He says this all over his ministry. Over and over again, he tells them what's going to happen the final time he goes to Jerusalem. Thinking about this, remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Remember that? Peter and the rest of them say, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Peter says, you're the Christ of God. The very next thing that Jesus tells them is this. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Over and over again, Jesus tells them this is what's going to happen. In another gospel, Jesus tells the disciples this. He said to his disciples, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. Whoa. Jesus wanted them to know that. That's a great statement. Let these words sink down into your ears. And literally, right before they go to Jerusalem, for that last faithful trip, Jesus literally says this. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. for he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. What do the angels want these women to hear? They want them to think back to Jesus' own words. Jesus told them over and over again, not only would he be crucified, but he would rise from the dead. And Jesus telling his disciples is quoting the Old Testament. Those who have grown up with the Scriptures, they should have known what was going to happen. And it's nice that the angels were nice to these women, because when Jesus meets the two on the road to Emmaus that afternoon, Jesus isn't very nice. He calls them fools for not knowing what was going to happen. The angels just tell the women to remember. See, the angels point these women in the right direction. And verse 8 says, and they remember his words. See, beloved, the resurrection of Jesus should be believed just because he said it was going to happen. If we never knew about the empty tomb, if Christ is Lord, we should believe him. Remember last week when we talked about Palm Sunday and promise and fulfillment? Through the whole scripture, promise, fulfillment, promise, fulfillment. Jesus said, I'm going to raise from the dead. You better believe he's going to raise from the dead. If the Son of God says he's going to die and then rise again, why would you not believe that? If the Son of God, the one who can calm the storm with his words, says he's going to rise from the dead, why would you not believe that? The one who could heal the sick, the one who can make the blind see, why would you not believe if he says, I'm going to rise from the dead? I mean, how many things did Jesus say he was going to do and then do? You know what? People don't just get up out of the grave, Lord. Why would we not believe? Why would they not believe? This Jesus who could literally speak to a tomb and somebody could walk out. You would hope you would believe if he says he's going to get up from the grave, he's going to do it. So I love the women. They remember his words. It's like a light bulb went off above their head. They're like, he did say that. And everything just got real for them. You can just see their faces. Like, huh? And what do? They get excited. Finally, the excitement's there. And they run back to the disciples. Right, verse 9. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Maybe these men were half asleep. Remember, really early in the morning, the women come running in because there's no way they walk back after seeing the angels and after realizing what has happened. They come bursting through the door. You could just imagine them all trying to talk at one time. He has risen. We saw angels. Ah! Right? They're probably like just freaking out. Screaming and shouting, and they're all saying, he's risen! The stone's been moved! The tomb is empty! There were two angels! All the apostles, they get up, they start running back to that tomb, they're loving life. Is that what happened? No, that's not what happened, is it? Verse 11 says, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. You're like, wait. What do you mean they didn't believe them? They came back and told them Jesus' own words. See, in not believing the women, The apostles showed us that they still didn't believe Jesus. You know what that's called? It's called unbelief. It's called unbelief. These 11 men were sitting in there. I'm not getting up. It's over. You know, Luke, being a physician, he uses a medical term to describe what the apostles said about what the women said. The Greek word for idle tale is applied in a municipal language to the wild talk of people sick in delirium. That's what that word means. The disciples thought these women were out of their minds. See, when it all boils down to, they just didn't believe. They just didn't believe that Jesus would rise from the dead. And you have to be thinking to yourself, wait a second, these are the apostles. These are the ones who have seen Jesus in his ministry. Do all those things. These are the ones that are going to lead the church. And they couldn't even go see. At that moment, they're all unbelievers. But not all of them. And I love this part. Because who gets up? Peter gets up. Peter, the one who denied Christ three times. The one who cursed at a little girl. The one who, on that night when Jesus was betrayed, after he denied Christ three times, looked up and Jesus stared right into his eyes. And Peter goes and runs off weeping. That Peter? He gets up and runs to the empty tomb. Gets up and runs. Right? And not only Peter, because if you add the Gospel of John, you know John's with them. And they run as fast as their legs could bring them. They are running to the tomb. Verse 12, Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, I want to bring in the Gospel of John here. It gives us more context. John chapter 20, verse 4. It says, they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went right into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple came into the tomb, and he saw and believed. I love that. They run to the tomb. They burst in the tomb. And lo and behold, everything that the women had said was true. Everything was true. Right? The linen was still there, showing us that nobody stole the body. If you think about it, someone who would steal the body would not take the linen off a dead body and then put it back and fold it nice and neat. No, they would just take the body and run. More proof. That he rose from the grave. I love what Luke says about Peter. He departed marveling to himself at what had happened. See, Peter marveled. He was in amazement. Why? Because maybe for him his sins were going to be forgiven. You have to think about what Peter had done. And he sees the empty tomb and he thinks, maybe it's all true. Maybe it gave him hope. Maybe everything that Jesus had said to him started rushing back into his mind, and he was like, oh, this is it. His heart started to beat faster. This is it. He did it. He marveled at it. How many of you marveled when you thought about the empty tomb this morning? How many of us in this room have ever thought about that empty tomb and just marveled? Everything that we hold as true is made real because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything. Remember what Paul said in the beginning. If Jesus doesn't raise from the dead, your faith is worthless. We of all people are most pitied. But the tomb is empty, beloved. He's not in there. Why do we look for the living among the dead? He is risen. That should make us go, yeah. It should make us cheer. It should make us get up and jump. I'm not going to jump, but I should. Like we think about how often we jump at sporting events. Jesus rose from the grave. This is it. Why did you come to church this morning? Why are you here? Would you believe the woman's testimony? What about the question from the angels? Why are you here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? So I hope you came this morning to marvel at that empty tomb. I hope you came here this morning to celebrate the defeat of death and sin and the grave. I hope you came here this morning to celebrate the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that puts a smile on your face. I hope when you drive away today, that's what's on your mind. The tomb is empty. My sins are forgiven. And the best part about this, is that he's ruling and reigning right now, sitting on the throne, King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you marvel at that? I marvel at that. Beloved, he is risen. Let's pray. Father God, thinking of what the angel said to the women, remember what he said. Lord, help us to remember what we've learned. Help us to remember what we've read in Scripture. That from the very beginning to the end, you would send one who would come, who would defeat the devil, who would defeat the grave, and would rule for eternity. Oh, Lord, the tomb is empty. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, we pray, Lord, that this news doesn't just stay in this room, but that it goes to the ends of the earth. That the good news of the empty tomb could bring all your elect in, could go out, change lives. Oh, Lord, that we could bend the knee to the risen King every day of our lives and share it with the world. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. That's our prayer every day. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The tomb is empty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.